Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for August the 12th of the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our 2 of 2, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Last hour, great hour, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Larry Pratt in the round table. Joe Biden, I've chosen Kamala Harris as my running mate. We also talked about a play-by-play of Kamala Harris admitting she smoked weed, Washington Post. We talked about Tucker Carlson refuses to pronounce her name right. I gave you a little thing in the show notes of how to pronounce her name there. You know, you got to get it right there. Kamala Harris says she believes women who accuse Biden of inappropriate touching and beyond, and she really shouts out their courage. Good for them. Problem is now she's jumping on the Joe Biden ticket. So she called Joe Biden a racist, and she believes the women who say he's a pervert, but yet she's on his ticket. How does that all work? Politics makes strange bedfellows. Do I dare use that term there now? A record 76% of Americans will be able to vote by mail. New York Times, does that concern you? FNC's, that's Fox News, right? Carlson, Kanye West is the most compelling voice against abortion and Planned Parenthood. Amen to that reality check. Good for Kanye. Also, records show that President Donald Trump donated to Kamala Harris's campaigns twice when he was a private citizen. Do you want to respond to that one, Kurt? That's pretty rough.
Well, yeah, I would agree. You know, it's amazing. Apparently, after the release of the, announcement on Kamala Harris being chosen, the Republicans had a already made commercial for it, and they pretty much call her nasty Kamala. You know, so she's tough, and she really took Joe Biden to task during those earlier events, and she's just I don't know. Some would call it a businesslike woman. I just call her dangerous. And, she's, they say she's the most liberal individual in the Senate, even more liberal than socialist Bernie.
Which is very difficult to deal with. Now, I'm not going to defend President Trump donating to her campaign twice as a private citizen, which means this was before, right? However, I'm going to a little bit justify how it can happen. So I'm not defending this. Don't misunderstand me. But I am savvy enough in politics to understand how a lot of this works. If you are a businessman and you are wanting to have a positive view of you and your business efforts around the world, then you create an organization that does back campaigns. You know, that's how you make friends and influence people, is put a little cash in the mix. And that's standard. You know, you can say that's not good. You could, whatever. I understand, but it's reality, right? I'm not defending the practice. Don't misunderstand the point. I'm telling you how it works, though. That doesn't mean I agree with how it works. I don't need to double down on how against this I am. I hope our listeners know this by now. Nevertheless, the point is Donald Trump's doing this. He creates this arm that donates to political campaigns across the country, and he's so busy he doesn't necessarily keep an eye on that big time. So a little bit of money slides over to Kamala Harris. And now, you know, I think the liberals are trying to use this against the president. I highlight it because it's a fact we can't ignore and prevent from talking about a little bit, to at least acknowledge that we've addressed it. But I would submit to you that I don't know that you could tie Donald Trump directly to that donation as if it were my wallet or your wallet, Kurt. We don't have a lot of people working for us. We don't have systems that kind of run on their own under the tutelage or guidance of other people, near like a President Trump or a businessman of his stature would. Before he was president. And so, yes, some money might have went there, but some money goes from all kinds of big league people. Are you allowed to say big league, or is it big league? Just joking. All right, big league people, can you understand that there might not be the same intention as maybe you or I putting money into a campaign like that? So I'm not defending him doing it, but I am defending the understanding that it can happen so easy in his circumstances that I don't think it's fair to hold this against him or to act like that's a big deal. Is it good? Of course not. I'm not defending it. I'm just telling you that it's not the same, and I think you need to put it in an honest, open, fair perspective discussion if we're going to even bring it up. And since they're bringing it up, I want to put it in, I believe, the true venue that it is. I don't think Donald Trump said, I know Kamala, let's bust out and donate to her campaign. Hey, you know, Steve, write a check. You know, I don't know because I'm not on the inside, but I know how these kind of campaigns and how these big wig processes work. And oftentimes it just happens. We've got a certain amount of money in this for these purposes. And hey, it gets doled out by who knows who. I don't think it's honorable, honest, or fair to pin that directly on President Donald Trump to say, hey, this is who he backed as a private citizen. I understand the money went there. I'm not debating that. I'm just telling you, I don't think it's as portrayed at all. That's just my opinion, Kurt, to which I'm entitled. But I'm defending President Trump on this a little bit and not defending the action, but trying to put it in a little bit of, I think, a lot more realistic about what really went down context. Your thoughts?
Well, my main thought is, wouldn't it be nice if we could just say, hey, this doesn't happen in the Republic here in America, simply because we have, honest, righteous citizenry and leadership, and there just wouldn't be any acceptance of that kind of thing going on. I'd just love to be able to say that, and yet, we know, guy's name was Johnny Chung, if I remember right, in the Bill Clinton administration. He basically said that the White House is pretty much just like a subway where you have to put in the coins and, you know, to be able to go for a ride. And what political individual, you know, a la Kamala Harris or Joe Biden, isn't the same, Sam. And they take the money and they'll do the bidding of those who pay the money. That's just the way it is. It's too bad.
It is too bad. But what do you think of my portrayal of explanation of how this could happen, but yet I don't really believe it can be pinned to President Trump as they're making it sound. They're making it sound like he moved mountains to back Kamala, and I'm not even close to believing that's the reality, Kurt.
Well, I agree. I mean, if you're the president, you've got Trump hotels and these different things, and you've got in her case, Kamala Harris, big shot in California, you're going to want to have, by the way, attorney general, so she could bring suits or not bring them against you. You're going to want to have... maybe the inside track and a little bit of protection, just like if you were dealing with the mafia, and I don't see it much differently. But when the mafia comes around and says you need to have fire insurance, you need to have it. Otherwise, I guarantee you're going to have a fire, you know?
Yeah. So I bring that up because, you know, the same thing's true, and I've been pretty critical of President Trump on this too, about him being friends with the Clintons and backing the Clintons in the past. And those are of great concerns. But again, when you're a businessman and you get the chance to golf with the president of the United States, you're going to take it. You know, how dumb are we? Of course you are, regardless of his political stripes or colors or whether you believe as he does or not is kind of irrelevant. You're saying, hey, I have a chance to meet with the president of the United States and improve my stature as a businessman and all these things. And, you know, you can't hardly blame the guy is the point, Kurt. Now, do you think Kamala Harris is a Black Lives Matter Antifa backer supporter? She was a attorney general of California. She was a former prosecutor, now basically a senator, and then now VP of the United States pick, at least on the Democratic ticket. The question becomes, do you think she's really more radical than Bernie, Kurt? That's saying something.
Well, it is, but I guess, you got to just look at the numbers the voting record. She's got the numbers to prove it.
It's kind of scary, isn't it?
Well, I think it gives people a very good choice, at least anybody who's willing to look at, you know, let's say you're in the middle and you're willing to look at both, you know, sides. I mean, I think it gives them a good choice. Are you for, you know, killing babies, you know, that kind of thing? Or are you for protecting babies? Are you for, you know, complete socialism and, you know, government at all levels, increased taxes, all that kind of stuff? Or are you for less government? You know, I mean,
yeah, great point.
You have some really good contrast. I mean, it's not like you're going, remember when Mitt Romney was running against Obama and he, you know, kept bringing up the things they had in common, and you're just kind of like, well, good job, Mitt. You've erased any differences, and we're having a hard time seeing your the reason we ought to support you.
Good point. Now, here's the deal. The mainstream press has pitched Kamala Harris along with Joe Biden as the more moderate of the wing of the Democratic Party. That's how the mainstream press wants you to believe. But you know what? Kurt's right on this. The record in the Senate from Kamala Harris is even more extreme than even a Bernie Sanders. And guess who's reporting this kind of stuff, Kurt?
Well, the first place I saw it was Breitbart, but right. Who else is reporting?
Even Newsweek and the liberal rags are admitting it.
Huh. Very good. Probably going to get it out of the way right now so that then they can say it's already
further
reported.
Left, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, they say. Woo! Donald will have a heyday with that one now, won't he, ladies and gentlemen? Quick pause. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable live.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they're, you know, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no way.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Kamala Harris, California Attorney General, thank you so much for being here.
It's great to be with you. Thank you.
I've heard you call yourself a fighter so many times. Who are you fighting for and what are you fighting for?
The people. I mean, here's the thing. My background, I'm a daughter of parents who were active in the civil rights movement in the 60s. I'm a career prosecutor. Some people would say that's a false choice. I say absolutely not. And in my career as a prosecutor, there's a document I've always filed. That document never reads the name of the victim versus the name of the defendant. It always reads the people versus the defendant. Because in our system of justice, we have rightly said a harm against any one of us is a harm against all of us. And in particular, we know that harm is most often directed at some of the most voiceless and vulnerable.
Speaking of the justice system, which you just mentioned, as you know, many argue it's a system for the haves and the have-nots. Is it a broken system? What needs to change? Does it need to be fixed?
The design of our system is a very good one, and I would hold it up against any other system in the world. But we have flaws, and there are aspects of it that are broken. But we can fix them. Let's commit ourselves to greater transparency in the system. Let's show what's going on. A system of justice will be perceived as just and will be just when it is transparent, not opaque. And let's commit ourselves to the importance of the relationship of trust amongst and between all of us, and with a particular emphasis on the relationship of trust between community and those of us who are sworn to protect those communities.
You talk to some folks, particularly in underserved minority communities, they're not happy with cops. You talk to other communities, they say cops are great. Where do you see it, and particularly with white police officers and black youth?
The vast majority of police officers are doing an incredible job and take their oath very seriously to protect other people. As it relates to the bad apples, there's no question that it does occur, and when it does, they need to be weeded out. Having said that, I will also say that it is a myth to suggest that communities of color and poor communities don't want law enforcement. They do. They don't want excessive force. They don't want racial profiling, but they absolutely want law enforcement. My office, the California Department of Justice, decided to take a critical look at this issue, and we developed the first in the nation training for police officers on implicit bias and procedural justice. And we've started training law enforcement in California on that issue.
Is Black Lives Matter helping or hurting the cause in some of these communities you mentioned?
I think Black Lives Matter is very important as an organization, as a movement, and on principle. It is important to make that statement.
Should folks stand for the national anthem?
We are all and should be treated as equals. We articulated those principles in our Constitution. And part of what we decided is what makes a fair and just and noble society and a democracy, a true democracy, is freedom of religion, freedom, right, of association, freedom to organize, First Amendment. So that is part of who we are as a country, and I will defend it to the core, which is that we give people certain choices in this country.
Let's talk education. California seems to be in a world.
All right, I don't want to play the whole thing. The reason I play that, ladies and gentlemen, is I want you to understand something about Kamala Harris. When you listened to that, Kurt, she sounded very reasonable. Hey, the bad apples that are the cops have got to be, you know, weeded out. Cops are good. America's great. We got the best system. I'll put it up against anybody. She mentions the Constitution. I mean, she sounds incredibly good. But if you ask her the right questions, the narrative falls apart quickly. And he didn't ask enough of the right questions. He was softballing it, but enough snuck out. So on one hand, we say America's great, but yet we back Black Lives Matter is super important. Well, look, Black Lives Matter and Antifa are the ones funded by communist forces in America that are literally rioting for weeks, for months on end. And so she's talking out of both sides of her mouth, but when you listen to her, she sounds well-articulated, very reasonable, knowledgeable. Hey, here's what we've done for America. Here's what we stand for and we stand against. And when it sounds so reasonable until you drill in, how do you say the police are great, but there's a few bad apples that need to be weeded out? Black Lives Matter is vitally important. And then you understand that those two are at odds, and they have been for months. How do you, okay, deal with this discussion where she literally starts to say things like, hey, America is the greatest country on the earth, and we love the Constitution. And, you know, she's not saying it in those words, but that's what she's saying. She supports it completely. But at the same time, she's undermining the very underpinnings of what makes America great. Black Lives Matter is the group that wants to jettison the traditional family, Kurt.
Well, I don't know how, at least that you can support this anti-American group, the Black Lives Matter crowd, and then still say you're for law and order and for, those things. But to have a politician talk out of both sides of in this case, her mouth, is nothing really new, is it, Sam?
No, the difference here is that she's better than most, and she's very, very good and very, very slippery. She's managed to have the media pitch her as the moderate wing of the Democratic Party. However, her Senate record shows she's more belligerent than Bernie Sanders when it comes to real voting and real action. When she gets in front of the media, she sounds like she's a constitutionalist, that she loves America, but she backs Black Lives Matter to the hilt. She starts out by saying, "My parents were in the revolution in the 60s, man. That's where I got my roots." So when you listen to her, if you understand what you're listening for, very, very, very duplicitous, but very good at making you believe, man, she sounds super reasonable. And if Donald's not careful, he's going to hit her too hard as a woman and as a, quote, colored woman, half black. If Donald's not careful, he's going to overreach and attacking her. You got old man Biden, and you got a woman who is very articulate and sounds reasonable. If she can keep her cool, it's going to be very difficult to know who's who and what's going on in this thing. That's for sure. All right, Kurt, got a surprise for you. It's your 11 news feed, Kurt. Surprise, Kurt. What do they call this, FL team?
That's right. A Florida teen provides apartment to nurses who lost home in fire. You know, we talked about those young men that basically saved that sheriff's deputy yesterday, and this is another good news piece that I thought, you know, you just want to bring it up when you can, because it's kind of hard to find good news, Sam. But this Miami teenager surprised a couple of nurses working on the front lines, providing them with an apartment after they lost theirs and their dog in a fire. Kid's name is Steven Ferrero. He's 16. He started a nonprofit group called Helping Others and Giving Hope. He heard about their story and wanted to find a way to help. He said, "I got inspired by their story of them being frontline workers. I couldn't imagine what they've been dealing with working through this whole pandemic." That's what he told CBS Miami. And it's too bad that CBS Miami couldn't just kind of send it on up the ladder, Sam. But his organization teamed up with AHS Residential to surprise the family with a two-bedroom apartment. Southwest Miami-Dade. So, hey, it's good stuff, Sam. And, it's nice to see good things happening.
It is interesting and good news. But more and more people are getting in on the action. I guess a homeless veteran benefits too, right?
Well, that's right, Sam. This guy, in this case, headline from Breitbart, homeless veteran receives remodeled, refurbished home. And it's so refreshing to get to, see these stories. Breitbart had this piece written by Catherine Rodriguez, and this is in Lawton, Oklahoma, the flyover land, if you will. Retired Army veteran Chris Sprouson and his family had no place to call home until he heard about the program called Home at Last. It places displaced veterans into refurbished, remodeled homes, according to KSWZO. Learned his situation was about to change thanks to the program. It almost made him cry. He said, "I don't know if words can really explain how thankful I am and a debt of gratitude to the Home at Last program and to Don and his family. I don't know where to begin on how happy I am and excited." Anyway, bottom line is people doing good stuff, Sam, out there, and it's kind of hard to find them, but when we do, we want to bring them to you, ladies.
From Florida teens to the blessings for homeless veterans, now Kurt wants to talk about a pizzeria, old people, anonymous donors, and dogs. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Do USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Joe Biden announced on Twitter that he's chosen Senator Kamala Harris to be his running mate. USA's Tim Berg reports.
Regarding the pick of Harris, former vice presidential candidate Joe Lieberman tells Fox News.
People would say, what was it like? I said, it was like being on a magic carpet from August through Election Day.
During his coronavirus briefing, President Trump reacts to the news.
So I was a little surprised that he picked her. I've been watching her for a long time, and I was a little surprised. She was extraordinarily nasty to Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh then, now Justice Kavanaugh. She was nasty to a level that was just a horrible thing, the way she treated now Justice Kavanaugh.
Senator Harris and Biden will appear for the first time together at an event on Wednesday.
This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
Balance of Nature, it's the greatest thing in the world. I can't imagine where I'd be without it. You know, I feel 20 years old again, and I want to continue to stay in shape. I understand the oversaturation in the market and the resulting cynicism that people have, but Balance of Nature works for anybody and everybody. And as much as it's a today product, it's a product for the future for me. I am the most satisfied customer in the world. I don't know what I would do without it.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
A Justice Department attorney told a federal appeals court that Attorney General William Barr may have had secret information that led him to request that charges against former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn be dropped. Jeffrey Wall, the acting U.S. Solicitor General, hinted at the secretive information during a hearing before the full 10-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. The session was held to determine whether the Justice Department should be allowed to drop Flynn's case. In May, Barr recommended that federal courts drop the charges of perjury against Flynn, who pleaded guilty almost 3 years ago to lying to the FBI as part of the Russia investigation. Wall said Barr may have been acting on non-public information when he made that recommendation. The appeals court ordered the hearing last month, reversing a June decision by its 3-judge panel that a district court judge may drop the charges. President Trump had previously criticized prosecutors. This is USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, good news rolls on, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. And you've heard of this tropical storm Isaias. I mean, they've actually been trying to say that Spanish word properly, at least in some of the news reports I've seen. The headline here, video : pizzeria offers free meals to those who lost power during tropical storm Isaias. Yeah, this happened down in Middletown, Connecticut. I don't know if you say down, but if you're in Nova Scotia, you say down, I guess. Amy Furr writes the piece, and they're making sure their neighbors lost power during this storm have food on their tables. It's Jerry's Pizza and Bar. They recently offered a free meal to those without electricity, and the response was overwhelming. Surprise, as you may seem. That's according to NBC Connecticut. You know, it seems like these big boys have these connections, and yet they don't ever take them national, you know. The owners there said, we decided to put the thing up on Facebook, and it just started to go crazy. That's what owner Carmela Ciano said as she helped prepare several dozen meals for her neighbors. If there is a family that still is without power or may have lost their perishable food and could really use dinner, message me on the page. We will take care of you tonight. I mean, it's just good stuff, Sam, and it
we need
makes
more
you
of it.
Feel good, and you want to, yeah, that's exactly right.
All right. While those guys are eating pizza, this interesting couple, they're celebrating their birthdays, man. It's your birthday, Kurt.
Well, yeah, 100 years old for both of them, and you know, they've been married for 80 years or nearly 80 years, and this is a Breitbart piece, and you'd think that you know, something like this would get some real coverage, you know, in a lot of places, but they just don't seem to have a place for.
Well,
it.
If they were like a same-sex marriage, then they'd get that coverage, Kurt. But without that,
exactly,
it's just
right.
Like a normal marriage, and those are out, don't you know, according to society.
Amy Furr writes for Breitbart, and she gives you what fur here. But anyway, it's talking about a husband and wife there in Savannah, Georgia, and they celebrated this incredible milestone. For almost 80 years, Billy and Nellie Jones have shared a love and life many around them are inspired by.
See, are they white, Kurt?
What's that?
Are they white?
I can't tell, but
you
got to
find out
sure.
To see if they're white, says, and if they've got a standard God-ordained marriage and everything else. There's just nothing there, buddy.
They say on this week they two celebrated the other turning 100. That's according to WTOC. Billy and Nellie were born just 4 days apart, have always had joint birthdays or joint parties. This year, they sat in lawn chairs, waved as a parade of well-wishers, drove by in cars and golf carts, holding signs that read, "Happy Birthday." Nellie said, "I feel very, very loved." Her husband, wearing a hat with the phrase, "Hunter never looked so good," printed on it, shared the story of how the two met. He said she was practicing for a play at Savannah High School on Washington Avenue. A friend of mine waved at her and spoke to her. I said, "Who's that?" He said, "That's Nellie. She's in my class. Would you like to meet her?" He turned the car around, took me back, and introduced me to Nellie. Anyway, they've been going strong for ever since, Sam.
Wow.
By the way, they give you some comments on how to survive this, how to, you know, live it well.
You mean how to stay married and prosper in marriage, you mean?
Yeah, that's right. Billy commented, "We haven't changed," adding that the key to living for 100 years was to work hard and always follow the Lord. Oh, this is one reason why they wouldn't bring this story forward, Sam. It says, "Go to church, love the Lord. He's the one taking care of us." That's what Billy said, his wife adding, "Try to do what he would like for you to do." I mean, imagine that.
Yeah, just the very reasons we bring this story up.
That's right. And one person wrote, "Happy birthday. May God continue to bless you both." That's good
stuff. Amen to that. Yeah, it's great stuff. And, you know, so we go to old people and young people and teenagers and homeless veterans and, you know, all these people doing a great job. Well, check this out. Anonymous donors are in the news too, Kurt. They don't want to be named. So, you know, we're covering all the aspects here on the good news page of Liberty Roundtable Live, Kurt.
Well, and I like these anonymous people just because sometimes they, you know, they want to do good without trying to take any credit for it. But this Breitbart piece says, "Anonymous donor offers to completely cover funeral expenses for wife of Texas man." Yep. Catherine Rodriguez writes this piece for Breitbart. Says, "Frank Garcia said everything started as a normal day until his wife began to gasp for air. She was gasping for air, and I tried to dial 911. They removed her from the house, and I didn't see her till I got to the hospital. When I got to the hospital, they pronounced her dead. Doctor said she died of a heart attack. Garcia had no room to grieve because the next thing on his mind was funeral expenses for his late wife. He said he could not come up with enough money right away, so he set up a GoFundMe page. It was like $5,000, something almost $6,000 for the total cost. It was at that moment when anonymous donors reached out to Garcia to tell him not to worry about paying the funeral cost. He's like, 'Don't worry about it.' I said, 'What do you mean?' Garcia said, 'Just out of my heart, my family, and my wife's heart, to you and your family, you're not responsible for nothing. You don't owe us back.'" Anyway, bottom line is, good people doing good stuff, Sam.
Amen to that. We go to another teenager, Pennsylvania girl.
Well, that's right, Sam. You know, Pennsylvania girl raises more than $1,200 for the fire department. I mean, you know, you're not going to get this kind of coverage if you're going to do something good. But this is a six-year-old Pennsylvania girl. Catherine Rodriguez writes the piece again for Breitbart, and she's spending her summer selling lemonade, not to raise money for a new toy, but to support her local fire department. Her name is Callie Karnatsky of Whitehaven, and she spent her weekend filling cups with pink lemonade and collecting donations to help the fire department. According to WNEP, she said, because I wanted to, because they help other people, and I want to help them. It's awesome. It's awesome. Part of the reason why I wanted to bring the boys by here today, you know, this is what Christy Piccolotto of Whitehaven, after she and her sons bought lemonade at the stand, she's doing a great job for a great community. So, you know, stories like this, Sam, they cheer you up and they make you want to, well, do some good. In this story, they even talk about North Dakota. One 10-year-old girl raised $11,000 for her police department by running a lemonade stand. And in Ohio, three boys opened up a lemonade stand to raise money to help the family of a fallen police officer. So there's good stuff to be reported. It's just most reporters just don't want to bring it to you. It's too bad.
Yeah, but we do. I think it's stellar reporting. Very, very encouraging. Brings hope and hope to your heart and cheer in your step when you see this kind of stuff, in my personal opinion. Even the dogs are getting in the action, Kurt.
Well, that's right. And if you're old enough to remember a program called WKRP, then you might understand what a chihuahua is, but in Spanish, the word chihuahua or chihuahua is spelled C-H-I-H-U-A-H-U-A, and so some English guys might say that a little incorrectly. But anyway, the headline, Chihuahua saves owner's life when he has stroke. She's a really smart dog. And this happened in Oriental, North Carolina. Amy Furr's got the piece again. She says this dog is getting a lot of attention for saving her owner, who recently experienced a stroke. Guy's name was Rudy. He's 88 years old, lives on a houseboat, and with his Chihuahua Australian Terrier mix named Babu. According to JDNews.com, he said she was 6 weeks old, telling about the dog when he got her about 2 years ago. We bonded immediately that night. She slept with me ever since. So we talk and we play and all this kind of good stuff. She loves watching TV. She don't care too much for the Westerns. Her favorite show is Walking Wild in San Diego Zoo. Anyway, he says however, once Armstrong got up the morning of August 2nd, he noticed a little bit of problem with my foot, but dismissed it until after lunch when his hand and foot were paralyzed. The veteran immediately called Babu, the dog, onto his lap and put his hand on her head. I never did this kind of dog talk before, but I told her I was in trouble. I told her to go get Kim. When Babu jumped down and ran off, Armstrong had no idea what she would do, adding that people checked on him every few days, but I didn't want to wait 2 days to be found. Dog ran straight to the dock master, Kim, for help, and the good news is he's doing well.
They say she's a really smart dog. Heard that.
Amen.
Liberty Roundtable Live.
Being there with your child and being there for your child are two completely different things. One denotes a simple presence, which is a start, but can also be accomplished by someone other than you.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
See, that sheep did a fine job of being there with the child, but it didn't do a very good job of being there for the child. Now listen to the difference an involved parent can make.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
I'm not very good at algebra, but do you have any English questions? Because I done real good in English.
Oh, Mom.
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay, so the algebra problem didn't get solved, but something better happened. Mom was there for her child. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked to
hear
this.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Kirk Crosby, Sam Bushman, bringing as many good news stories to the table as we can find today. We try to do that all the time. Usually there's just not too many of them. But we work on it. Now, there's an interesting twist. This guy's a father of 30 kids, Kirk. What's up with that?
Well, that's right. The headline for World Net Daily, teaming up with the Daily Caller News Foundation, says, good news, a father of 30 kids makes mind-blowing discovery worth millions of dollars, promises to build school, and continue raising his 2,000 cows. This is happening there in what's called Tanzania. I've not been there, but anyway, this Tanzanian miner dug up multiple gemstones worth a total of $5.4 million and has promised to put the stone revenue toward his community. I guess they have what's called Tanzanite stones. I guess that's appropriate for Tanzania. These are special gemstones, I guess bottom line is this guy's stones weighed nearly 50 pounds. Those are pretty big stones. According to the AP, small-scale miners are often, they say, illegally sell precious stones to black market traders. Yeah, that means there's a government rules that says they can't do it. But anyway, this guy who's the father of more than 30, by the way, that's what they say, vowed to use the money to invest in his local community. After he sold the first two stones, he said he wanted to build a shopping mall and a school. You know, the thing, he says that becoming a millionaire overnight won't change his lifestyle. He's going to keep taking care of his 2,000 cows. I mean, he's got to have, well, I guess with all those kids, you can do that. But anyway, bottom line is, Sam, kind of an interesting story. And I think kind of lends that idea that says the earth has enough and to spare, even in a place where, you know, the people are probably known as pretty poor. If they dig and find some good stuff, they've got some real value there in the earth. Huh?
Amen to that. Just interesting stuff, man. Now, how's this guy a father of 30 people, though? I don't really understand that.
Well, there's no real details on that in the story.
And but see, to me, that's kind of a cool thing. Usually you would say, you know, he wouldn't be a father of 30 people unless he's adopted people. Or there's probably a cool story there is why I'm asking the question.
I agree.
Anyway, I just think it's worth, you know, noting. All right, Kurt. So you've got a lot of good stories, buddy. But I got the mother of them all. Right? Check this out. Do you know who Anna Del Prior is, Kurt? All right, we lost Kurt. Anyway, there's this lady named Anna Del Prior.
I had my mute button pushed, but I don't know who she is.
You got to learn about this lady, man. I've been learning about her, and it's really interesting.
Anna Dale Pryor.
The headline says...
She's probably the Pryor, one of the first children, I suppose.
Pretty much, yeah. Anna Dale Pryor has no plans to slow down. At 107 years old, after beating COVID-19, Jerry Carino, USA Today. Now, check this out. Back in May, Darlene Jasmine got the call nobody wants to get. Her grandmother came down with COVID-19, and poor Darlene at the time is like, oh, no, at age 107, oh, my gosh, this is the thing that's going to finally take grandma down. Didn't happen, ladies and gentlemen. Anna Dale Pryor, who was 1 month shy of turning 108 years old, was born the year the Titanic sank, and she survived a case of the Spanish flu a century ago, and she also survived the coronavirus. Not only that, ladies and gentlemen, she's still on her feet, walking, and even dancing, to the delight of the staff at Brighton Gardens. That's an assisted living center in New Jersey where she's hanging out. People don't believe me, said Laura Howell, who is Dale Pryor's healthcare coordinator at the Gardens. It's really been amazing to watch her journey. Dale Pryor was born in Brooklyn to deaf parents who taught sign language. She was a seamstress, and her late husband, Frank, was a professional tango dancer. She always danced, always loved music, and as soon as she hears music, her feet starts a-tapping. That's what Darlene said. Now, at 6 years old, Anna contracted the Spanish flu during the influenza pandemic of 1918. Brighton Garden administrators confirmed that this is all factual. As with COVID-19, the Spanish flu attacks the respiratory system, although they say at a far deadlier rate. Isn't that interesting? They're admitting this in the USA Today now that, hey, the Spanish flu back in the day was a far deadlier rate than the coronavirus, right? Maybe that has something to do with the recovery, says granddaughter Jasmine, or Miss Jasmine, who noted that Anna's younger sister, she's only 105, you know. Helen is her name. Anyway, so Anna's younger sister, Helen, at 105 of Queens, New York, she also survived both illnesses, the Spanish flu and the corona. After Anna fell ill with COVID-19, Jasmine said, she had a fever. She didn't eat much, but she did not need to go on a respirator. They didn't have to even send her to the hospital at all. Now, this lady, Anna Dale Pryor, has resumed her natural, normal activities, including swimming, sewing, and dancing. Jasmine called it a miracle, but added that a lifetime of healthy choices probably helped. Ooh, listen to that. She called it a miracle, but she said a lifetime of healthy choices probably helped out. She's constantly moving, Jasmine said. We always walked in Brooklyn to the grocery store, to the bakery. Every night she would make a homemade meal from scratch. And she would eat all Mediterranean food, Kurt. Olive oil, vegetables, fruits, nuts. She says it's like the old peasant food that now they charge you so much money for. But she has no plans to slow down. She says you just keep living. Dancing makes you feel good. Yeah, now, believe it or not, there's an interesting little twist on this story. She says, I want to keep my health. Now, there's a gerontology site, Kurt, documenting these old people that are surviving the coronavirus. It's a gerontology site that tracks such things. And they say two 108-year-old people, Americans, have confirmed to survive the corona. And they say in seven other Americans age 107 and older have done so. Around the world, they say the oldest to beat the coronavirus was a 113-year-old woman in Spain. Wow. Suffice it to say that Ana del Prior is not counting the days. She's a month shy of 108. And she gets up, combs her hair. She walks, dances, and more. Now this lady, this the healthcare provider, she says, for the rest of my life, I will be able to say that I made friends with someone who's made it this far and stayed healthy. Anyway, in my opinion, that's just a tremendous story. But I got more thoughts on this. Kurt, what about the idea that you study people like this that have made it this far, and what do they have that makes them able to handle this so well? She didn't even go to the hospital. She didn't have a respirator. Is it the diet? Is it the living well, living clean? Is it the exercise? Is it all of the above, which is my suspicions? Is it that she's got some gene or some, you know, capability, you know, to the Spanish flu help her 100 years later? What makes that reality tick is what I want to know, Kurt. Not to mention celebrating her wonderful life and her example and her the whole story, right?
Well, yeah, couldn't agree more, Sam. I mean, it's such a great story, and then it's got all these connections to nutrition and living good and, you know, et cetera. You just got to love that kind of story, right?
Amen. Because remember, her younger sister, she's only 105, don't you know? She's younger.
Yeah, just a kid.
Anyway, all I'm saying is she survived both of them as well. So is it a lifetime of healthy choices, like her granddaughter Jasmine says, that helped? Is it that she's constantly moving? Is it that she eats a homemade meal from scratch every night? Is it that she eats all Mediterranean food, olive oil, vegetables, fruits, nuts, the old peasant food? But if you got a gerontology site that tracks such things, I don't think it would be hard, Kurt, to start to study what makes that occur. I don't want to just chalk it up as a neat anomaly. I mean, I think it is, but I want to learn why. And I think in her life, in many of these elderly people's lives, might be the keys to understanding that might not require vaccines, because I didn't hear a single word about vaccines in the story, Kurt.
I agree, Sam, and I'll bet there was very little, if any.
Little Anna tearing it up, man, 108 years old, going on, and you know, she's dancing and she's rocking and living well. And, you know, how did she beat all that? I think that we could learn from that. The only question, Kurt, is will we?
Will we? Yeah. Good point.
Or will we just, you know, now, in my opinion, for the next President Trump briefing on the coronavirus, see, I think you need to get Anna. Donald needs to go visit Anna and say, hey, you know what? We're talking about elderly people that have survived all this stuff. It's not the end of the world. Yes, we need to be cautious. But at the same time, these are case. I'm going to put Fauci on a case study to find out what makes this tick. What makes these people do so well? What can we do to emulate that and to duplicate that for all of us? See, that could be a really huge opportunity for the president of the United States, in my personal opinion. And that's why I give that, I don't know what you call it, counsel, input, thoughts, of a way forward. What an incredible photo op for the president to roll down and meet Anna, congratulate her for beating the coronavirus, and to learn from her and ask her about her success, and go to this, what is it, gerontology site, and find these people who have survived. And what makes it happen? Is it in their genes? What makes that occur? Is it that they believe in God? Is it their eating, their lifestyle? What? Is it just an anomaly that we can't figure out? I don't know. But I know if we study it and work on it and pay attention to it, we might get somewhere. And it might be the real answer for a lot of people. If we're going to dig into possible technologies or capabilities that can solve things, doesn't that seem like one of the most simple, clean ones that would have serious promise, Kurt?
Good point, Sam.
Anyway, I don't know how dumb I am, but there you go. Just Think Tank Radio. Donald, listen up, my friend. President Trump, this is a photo op like you've never seen before, my brother. Get it done. You probably can't even hear about the story, can you? That's why you got to fund real news, hard-hitting news, people who take the gloves off and aren't interested in political politics. We're interested in the truth, because that shall set us free. We're interested in God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property. And, man, Anna, congratulations, man. We're excited for you, for your life, for all that you stand for. All right, thanks so much. For Sam and Kurt, we declare this nation shall endure. LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.